I have no other God but thee. Born in a manger, died in a tree. What kind of God gets born? And what kind of God dies on a tree? This is in one way completely preposterous and unbelievable. Yet in another way, it's the most essential story and creed that every Christian has to confess and believe. I have no other God but thee. Born in a manger, died on a tree. It's my joy this afternoon to share this good news of the gospel with you. I'm going to preach a message out of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Out of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I know that half of you already have a roast in the oven. The other half of you are holding a four-year-old who's kind of squirming. It's not my intention to take a long time to explain this, but it is my intention to, with joy, with clarity, hopefully with Spirit-given boldness, to declare to you that there is no God but Jesus Christ, born for us in a manger, died for us on a tree, rose again for us, that we might have eternal life. I'm going to look together into God's word in John chapter 1. And as we do that, let's bow and pray. Congregation, if you'll bow with me in prayer, let me lead you in prayer. Just pray something like this. God, as we take a few moments now to open your word, God, would you open my eyes? God, would you open my heart? God, would you show me the lies that I've been trusting, the self-deception that I've been swimming in? And God, would you show me your truth, your word, your will? God, would you show me yourself in your word? Spirit of God, show us yourself in this word. Show us ourselves and our needs. And oh, show us our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, born for us. In his name we pray. Amen. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. These verses, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, take us from time back to before there was time into the present time, and their implications take us forward into eternity and the future. These verses span from the time before there was time, I guess we couldn't call it a time, in the beginning. God created the earth and created time in the beginning before there was time. That's where these verses start, in the beginning, before there was time. And then they take us into creation when time began, because they say that the world was created by this word, Jesus Christ. And then they take us into the ministry of Jesus Christ in the earth, because they say that when Jesus was here, he showed life and light to everyone. But these verses, look at verse 5, they take us all the way from eternity past to the time when Jesus was on the earth, but look at the tense of the verb in verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What tense is that verb, shines? It's in the present tense. These verses bring us to today. What do we count on for life? And do we have light or don't we? These verses show us the relationship of Jesus Christ to the whole universe, and they pinch us with the relationship of Christ with each one of us. Is that relationship there or not? These show us Christ's relationship to time. Verse 1 assures us, it kind of blows our mind, that Jesus Christ is eternal. He was never created. He is eternal. His relationship to time is beyond it. He himself is eternal. These verses show us Jesus' relationship to God. And his relationship with God is that he is God. He is one member of the eternal Trinity. That's what verse 1 says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was other than God, and that he's a separate person from the Father, yet the Word was God. He is God. They show us that Jesus is beyond time. They show us that Jesus is God. Verse 3 shows us Jesus' relationship to the whole creation. All things were made through him. We see his relationship to time, his relationship to God, his relationship to everything in the universe, that he's its creator. And then finally in verse 4, we see Jesus' relationship to men and women like us. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, or of humanity, or of all of us. He is light, and he is life to us. Jesus Christ created all things. And Jesus Christ came into the creation that he created to save it. Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven after his resurrection, but a day is quickly coming when Jesus Christ will return again to his creation. So Jesus created everything in the beginning, and then when everything got messed up, Jesus is the one who came down here to save it. And in the end, when God recreates everything in heaven and everything is opened up, it'll be Jesus Christ that comes here to recreate everything. The first world was created by Jesus. That's what it says in the beginning. The first world was created by Jesus. But that first world where there was no sin was quickly invaded by trouble and sin and death and dust and despair and cursing. There is no peace on earth. And so Jesus came to redeem the world, to give his life for the world. Jesus in the past was the world's creator. Jesus came as the world's redeemer. In the present, he shines as the light of the world, and a day is approaching when the whole world will be recreated according to the image of Christ. Christ is the Alpha, the pattern for the first creation. Everything that was created was made by Christ. And Christ is the Omega. He's the pattern for the new creation. Creation unfallen, perfect, without sin. But then when it's fallen, Jesus is the one who comes to save it. And then when it is redeemed and restored and even recreated in the new heavens and the new earth, Jesus, the same Alpha who was the pattern for its first creation, will be the Omega, the pattern for its new creation. Verse 3 tells us that everything that was made by Jesus, and without him was not anything made that was made. You can't get much deeper than the reality of John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 and 3. These verses don't say that Jesus knows about all things because all things are. And therefore, because Jesus knows everything, Jesus knows about all things. These verses say that because Jesus knows things, those things have their essence and existence. And if Jesus did not know them, they would not exist. He is the reality that created in the past, and that sustains in the present, and that gives light and life to everything that has existence and essence.
Jesus created all things and knows all things, and he has arrived as the Savior of the world. John 1, verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1, verse 4 is pretty much exactly paralleled by the same author four chapters later in John chapter 5 and verse 26. John says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. That is, John chapter 5, verses 25 through 27 read like this. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. The point being made in John chapter 1, verse 4, and John chapter 5, verse 26, is that Jesus shares the self-existent life of God. He's the only uncreated one, the only uncaused cause, the only essential being who has life in himself. That's his person. And so his person, his identity, gives him this privileged position from which he chooses to be born in a manger and to die on a tree so that a darkened creation can have light and a dead creation can have life and a hopeless, warring people can have hope and peace and joy. This is astonishing that Jesus would do this for us. John chapter 1 says that Jesus is the light and the life. This is paralleled nine chapters later in John chapter 10, when it says in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, Jesus says that he lays down his life for us, that he gives us life. When Jesus was in the presence of death in John chapter 11, a friend of his died, and he's comforting the sisters of his friend who were also friends of his. And Jesus says to them in John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. John chapter 11, John chapter 10, John chapter 5. We'd go on to John chapter 14. All take this essential truth in John chapter 1, verse 4, which says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and they show us how Jesus is the life. What does it mean that Jesus is the life? Well, John chapter 1, verse 3 says that Jesus created all things, and nothing that exists has its existence and its essence without Jesus. He's the creator of everything. So it certainly means kind of biological life at a baseline. He created all the butterflies and all the blue whales and all the earthworms and all the eagles and everything else we can imagine. But it doesn't just mean biological life. Because it says in John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. This life is characterized as the light of humanity. So when we talk about light, we're talking about life in the spiritual realm. We're talking about life in the sense of knowledge, in the sense of knowing God, knowing love, knowing life, knowing peace. There are two kinds of life. There's divine life, knowing the life of God, knowing peace with God, and knowing joy in God's presence. And then there's life, like physical life, earthly existence. Everyone here has the second. Not everyone here has that first kind of life, but Jesus offers it, present tense in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness. Jesus offers this full and whole life to everyone here. So many of us know so much about life on this planet, but we don't really know about our life. Like, who are we? Why do we matter? What is our purpose? How do we have peace? You can Google anything and have more information than the generation that came before you. The issue is not knowing more about all the stuff in life. The issue is not knowledge. It's plenty of that. The issue is wisdom. What is all of the information for? Where's the insight that's sort of drowned out by the gigabytes of information? The Bible says that Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, that Jesus gives that clarity of understanding of what life is. You know, in a sense, to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ, is to see that everything in the world revolves around Christ. That's essentially what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ, is to see that everything that we call life, if it's not connected to Christ, it isn't life at all. Jesus Christ is the mediator of all the meaning that truly exists in the universe. All of reality was created by him. That's what John 1 says. And all of reality was created for him. Paul later says in Colossians 1:16, all things were created through him and for him. Colossians 1:16, all things were created through him and for him. He goes on to say in Ephesians 1, verse 10, the purpose set forth in Christ, to unite all things in Christ. Hence, the ultimate meaning of everything is found in Christ. The first world was created by Christ. He's the Alpha. He's the pattern for the first world in which there was no sin. Once the world was ruined by sin and the fall and the curse, it is only Christ who could come as Redeemer and rescue the world, so that now that he's ascended, when he returns again in the end as Omega, he'll complete this new creation that he began in his birth and death and resurrection. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Because of him and through him and for him flows all of creation. That means that nothing in life is free-floating, defining itself. Everything is defined by, is given its identity from, is given its life by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. To be a Christian does not mean to have a particular opinion about religion. To be a Christian means to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Reality and the universe cohere in him. They are from him and through him, and they are for him. So all of life is summed up in him. He is life and light for us. And so it says in John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. But then in verse 5, it says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We finally get to a little bit of a bummer word in that last phrase of verse 5. All this beauty about life and light, but when the light and the life touches this planet, what John has to say is, well, this planet didn't overcome the light. He's not able to say that when the light and the life came to this planet, all of us just rejoiced to see the light and we're thrilled that he's here and we all bow the knee before him. It says, well, there's some resistance there. Look at, if you're still in John chapter 1, look at verses 9 through 11.
The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. We have this great news about the light coming, but then we have this bad news that we resisted the light. We covered our eyes. We wanted to stay in the darkness. John chapter 3 has that same kind of negative, kind of positive, negative move. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This great news of God's love sending Jesus, the son, into the world. Yet, John 3, verse 19, three verses after verse 16, John 3, verse 19 says, "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed." Now we're into it. The light and the life has come. And yet we run from the light. Why? We run in self-protection. Our light rejection is self-protection, because if the light shines on us, we'll be exposed. And if the life expresses its authority over us, we have to yield and say, "My life belongs to you. You are my life." And so we run from that. That's what sin is. So coming to Jesus is faith. Coming to Jesus is by faith believing and confessing, "I'm a sinner. I want to be the Lord of my own life. I want to remain in the darkness." But believing in Jesus is confessing, "Though I'm a sinner and on my own, I want to remain in the light and the darkness, I know I need a Savior, and I know Jesus Christ is that Savior." And it's simply believing that Jesus came from heaven to earth to live a perfect life in my place, as I had failed to do, to die on the cross, bearing my sin, to be buried in the tomb, and then to rise again, because my sin had been paid for, and now I can have life by believing, trusting in him. The gospel response is to confess, "I'm a sinner," and the gospel response is to confess, "Jesus Christ is the Savior that I need." And the gospel response is actually to confess, not only am I a sinner and Jesus is the Savior, but the gospel response is to actually begin to confess, "All of life coheres in Christ. Everything that is and everything that will be is defined by Christ. It's from him and through him and to him." And so faith, real living faith, is an amazing thing. Faith in a bleeding Christ causes a softened, even bleeding conscience and heart. Faith in a holy Christ causes the spirit in which that faith dwells to desire to be holy. And it is an amazing thing when a person like me, like you, begins to desire to become holy. That's an amazing thing. That's a renewal of humanity from the inside out. It's not a moralism placed on like a jacket, but it's like a new life growing from within. Faith in a holy Christ causes the spirit that faith dwells in to desire to be holy. Faith in a humble Christ causes the soul in which that faith rests to desire to be humble. We all have a problem expressing and walking in that humility. But faith in a humble Christ makes us want to be humble. Faith in a loving Christ fills the soul with love. Faith in Christ who is the light is the only, faith in Christ who is the light is the only thing that can make me no longer afraid of the exposure to the light. If the light was just the raw light of judgment, I would be afraid to be exposed to it.
but the light is Christ. The light is Christ, the one who says, forgive them. The light is Christ, the one in whom is grace and mercy. So faith in Christ, who is the light, makes me want to finally stop running from the light and to receive him and let him shine that light in my life. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him is light. Will you come to him and see? In him is life. Will you come to him and live? Let's pray. Lord God, in this moment, I pray for all of those who know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Oh, show us how you are Alpha and Omega. Help us to gladly yield, to gladly come into the light and so be transformed by Christ. Help us to see that in you, all things have their meaning, that all things are of you and through you and for you. And Lord God, I pray for those here who have not yet confessed Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, as light and life. Holy Spirit of God, open eyes, open hearts, give life and light in Jesus' name. Amen.